Welcome back. 350, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And it's time for the Robbins Report. Jim Robbins, Washington Times senior editorial writer, joins me now. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. Checked out a couple of your pieces in the Washington Times this week. Obama's do-nothing power grab. I was just talking about that a few minutes ago. Friday afternoon, we got the rude awakening, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the White House is calculating that this is somehow going to help them with Hispanic voters. I'm not really clear on that because, you know, a lot of people who have come to this country and gone through the process of legal immigration, I think they're kind of turned off by the notion that other people can just kind of slip in and, you know, get the same rights and privileges without going through it. So, you know, it's not really a one-to-one.
Yeah.
But then when you add up other things like how the people who are being given this de facto amnesty will be competing with other young people for jobs and how youth unemployment is actually double the national rate, I don't see how that really helps their electoral prospects. And then, of course, there's the question of should the president be in a position to cherry pick which laws he enforces and which laws he doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw some polling information earlier today. It said that 64% of Americans are on board with his decision. But then I also noticed it was the same polling group that said Scott Walker would lose in Wisconsin. So who knows?
Yeah, very accurate White House poll, I'm sure.
All right. Obama Global Zero. What's that all about?
Oh, well, we were looking at a Pew survey that came out that showed how the president's popularity around the world has declined a lot since the heady days of 2009 when he came vaulting onto the scene and got the Nobel Peace Prize for showing up and stuff like that. And really, this is an article we've written before as we have watched his authority and repute around the world declining over the last several years. So really just pointing that out again. But there are real implications to it, as we're seeing right now in the news, where Russian leader Vladimir Putin, for example, is treating the president with very little respect because he doesn't feel that he has to.
You know, that's very true, and I don't know if you caught any of the video. I had played a little clip, an audio clip, a while back in this hour, and it was from CBS covering the event, and it showed the look on the face of Obama, which wasn't very pleasant, but even worse, the look on Putin's face, like, I want nothing to do with this guy. And then, just a little while ago, we find from an Israeli newspaper that Syria, Iran, Russia, and China want to get together for some war games, working together. That's a little frightening.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing this to show that they don't care what the United States thinks or does, that, you know, in their opinion, we're not the dominant superpower anymore, that there's nothing that Mr. Obama can do about it. The same thing with the Russians going to send amphibious warships to Syrian ports. It's the same thing, saying, look, we're gonna go down there and back up our ally with this show of force, and what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Now, to the Brits' credit, they turned one ship around and sent it back to Russia.
Yeah, that was really clever. They did it by withdrawing their maritime insurance, and the ship couldn't operate internationally legally without it. So at least the Brits are trying to do something. I guess that's the modern-day equivalent of, you know, sending the Royal Navy after them.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, by the way, one other note while I have you. Did you see where the U.S. wants to increase its military presence in Kuwait to 13,500 members? Are all the pieces of a puzzle suddenly fitting together here?
Well, I don't know, but it certainly seems like an acknowledgement that that part of the world is still strategically important, that it's still very dangerous and maybe getting more so. And just because we got kicked out of Iraq because our people couldn't get the paperwork together to stay there doesn't mean that we can just leave the entire region behind and declare peace.
Yeah. I'm going to take you to the story about the blurring pictures from spy planes. Chuck Schumer is asking Google Maps to blur out images of people in its newest data collection, which includes photographs from these airplanes where you can clearly identify people. Are we getting out of control with all this high-tech stuff?
Well, it sure seems funny. I mean, you don't have a right to privacy to just walk down the street. I don't think the Supreme Court has ever said that, you know, you can walk down the street and if someone recognizes you, that somehow that's wrong. So I can see where Google and these people would be in their rights to just take these photos and move ahead with it. On the other hand, given all of the data that they collect and the facial recognition software that's coming out now and their ability to track people through their cell phones and other things like that, it seems that there are going to be private agencies out there outside of any kind of government control that will have tons of information on you that you might think is private, but given your behavior on the internet or just walking down the street, actually isn't. So I don't know about blurring the pictures, if that's going to make a difference, but some kind of oversight is needed.
Yeah. And then, you know, there isn't a day goes by where we don't see something on drones now being used in the U.S. I just saw a picture a couple of minutes ago of a sheriff's department that already has them painted up just like the sheriff's cars.
Well, you know, that's going to be a problem one day when someone loses control of a drone and it crashes into somebody's house or, you know, takes somebody out walking down the sidewalk. Maybe there'll be a Google picture of it. You know, all these drones in the air, what if they start running into airplanes? Or there has to be some kind of control over this. It can't just be a bunch of people with, you know, who knows what kind of training, having these private mini air forces out there flying around doing stuff.
Yeah. All right, the TSA is back in the news on two levels. Private screeners, it appears that Orlando International Airport will begin to use private security screeners, giving up the TSA. I think that's a positive move, but that's just me. And the other story deals with people getting TSA pat-downs. But evidently, one woman decided to turn the table when a TSA agent groped her. She turned around and did the same thing.
Well, good for her. I think, you know, we're going to hear stories like this for as long as this type of system goes on. You know, the Israelis don't have all this kind of stuff. They use intelligence-based methods to keep their flights safe, you know, where they're actually looking at the actual passengers, not randomly picking out someone to grope, but actually knowing who's getting on planes and knowing what the risks of that particular person are. And you'll notice that they also have the safest flight record in the world. So, you know, if we're gonna use this sort of, you know, approach where people are just picked out of line and or you know, x-rayed or shown their bodies in these sophisticated machines, then fine, we're gonna run into more and more problems with civil liberties and privacy and people groping back. I think it's a great form of civil disobedience.
Yeah.
If you can stomach it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jim, always good to talk to you. Thanks a lot. We'll do it next Tuesday.
Thanks, Andy.
See you. Jim Robbins with the Robbins Report. Jim is a Washington Times senior editorial writer. 3:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.